I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Here we go.
Go get it.
Let's go.
That's it.
It's time for the unrivaled NFL Roundup. Premium grade A NFL news from a former NFL quarterback. And the other guy on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
That's right. Welcome back. Unrivaled 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Powered by KSL Sports. Scott Mitchell across from me, former NFL quarterback. That's why we... So I pay you the big bucks, Scott, because you're the NFL guy, and we're talking about the NFL stuff. So
yeah, it sounds like a good
match. It works. So let's jump into some of these NFL topics here. First of all, let's start with golf for just 1 second.
Okay.
Because you're like, you know, you've watched a lot of golf in your day, and yes. You're watching the PGA Championship this week, and we already talked a little bit about our weekend warriors. But then there's Mito Pereira, right?
Yes.
We've watched guys melt down before.
Yes.
The sad thing about the Mito Pereira deal is he's a rookie. I mean, that's good. He's a rookie. He's not like been on the tour for 8 years, and this was the closest he ever got.
Right.
But it might be worse because he's a rookie. He is all he has to do is get a par on that 18, which he had done all week, either par or birdie all weekend. Right. But he goes into the final
bogey
round
just to get or in the bogey playoffs.
Just to be able to get in that playoff. I don't know if there's a worse thing where and it was such a sad deal because I'm reading his comments afterward, and he goes, I wish I could have it back. I wish I could do it over again. And you will never – I just can't imagine the amount of sleep you'd lose over that situation. And I know you can't. The good news is he's a rookie, and he seems like he's really good. He won 3 or 4 times last year on the Korn Ferry Tour. So he has this kind of background of winning golf tournaments, but this is going to creep up every time you play.
Do you know how valuable that swing was? $1.5 million.
What did he end up getting?
$1.5 million.
Because then he ended up getting third.
Tied. So
tied
it was like $870,000 is what he made, as opposed to $2.3 million.
Can you imagine? Yeah, now
money.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And then you lose the playoff, you cut your winnings in half too.
It's a really good example of how taking care of that attention to detail and making every shot, you know, the last, the best, the most important. And you have a lot of shots in a round in a tournament, and you just think of and he probably goes back and just thinks of all the different moments. Man, I should have had that one. I should have had that one.
He could probably, because he knows his round better than all of his four of his rounds that we do. He probably had 2 or 3 putts that lipped out on 17. I mean, he was
right
an eighth of an inch out of making that birdie putt, and he would have been up 2 shots.
Yep.
And then that double bogey would have put him in the playoff.
Right.
But there's probably a million of those for everybody's round, for everybody's weekend, where they can go back and go, if I would have made those 3 shots. I mean, in the top 10, right? All those people that are in the top 10. Will Zalatoris, poor kid. He gets so freaking close, that guy. Yeah. And, like, you're just expecting him to win a major? He's gotten more used to losing him.
And some, you know, it's like interior play is so important in football. And putting is... It's the name of the game in golf.
Yeah, it's just,
you got to be able to putt if you're going to win.
And he's not the greatest putter.
Not a good putter.
All right. Scott, first things first on the old NFL roundup. KJ Wright, inside linebacker or one of the linebackers for – I don't know where he's going to end up. He might end up taking up with that Mike job of the now recently departed Bobby Wagner. But he is going full-on breakup mode and saying, Russell Wilson will finish dead last in the AFC West. One, why does it matter? Because it's nowhere near where you guys are at. Your right. AFC West and the NFC West couldn't be further apart from what it matters.
Well, and Seattle's going to finish last in the NFC West. I mean, why would you say stuff like this?
Maybe he's close to them, and he goes, yeah, you guys are going to finish last, man. Ha. But it's more feels like he was dead serious. He goes, I just don't see him having the success that everybody thinks that they're going to have.
NFL guys are petty. and they're also very competitive. And it's like, you don't necessarily go, hey, I wish you success. You wanted to leave here. You wanted to go somewhere else. And man, I just hope you have success. There's not a lot of people that feel that way. There's not a lot of people that feel like the guy that comes and replaces you, like you want him to break all the records and do very, no. you want to be the only, and it's a very selfish attitude.
I do not wish you any sort of success going forward. If I'm out of the league, then I do. I mean, they have to play each other game once, so that's
maybe out of the league might be.
I know a lot of guys you still don't wish well on.
Maybe 10, 20 years.
Down the line where you finally go, you know, I was stupid. I was very immature for my age then. But the reality is that's never going to happen. Zach Wilson apparently going to be attending tight end U. He says he's going to attend tight end university, and along with a group of other NFL folks who are going to this. I don't know what the point of this thing is. He says that he's going to attend tight end university in 2022.
Well, I know what the point is.
Just to rub shoulders with a bunch of really good tight ends? What?
First of all, I think it'd be a brilliant thing to do. I love that they do this. Yeah. I think it's remarkable.
Yeah.
The only reason the tight ends want the quarterbacks to be there, they need someone to throw to him.
A decent ball.
He's a camp arm. He's a guy that's just like,
how dare you?
We're going to run these routes. We're going to do all this stuff. We need some guys to throw us the ball. That's all it is.
Kittle says, help me keep the peer pressure on him. Zach Wilson's about 99%. He's trying to decide if he wants to come back to Cabo or not. I was like, Zach, you're not going to come. You're not going to come back from Cabo. So if you want me to help you influence a little bit, then the last one I'm working on is Josh Allen, trying to see if he'll make it work too. They're like, well, we want to get Josh Allen first, but it'd be nice to have Zach Wilson there. But yeah, I mean, tight end is this tight end U thing is brilliant, and if you're a quarterback, you go to it because this is the new wideout. This is like the new thing to do in the NFL is to have a really, really good tight end throw.
Here's the other thing that happens. When you're a guy like Zach Wilson, you're trying to figure stuff out. Like, all you know is your little world with the New York Jets. When you get an opportunity to go and talk to the other players, to your peers, in a setting where it's a support, it's an educational, it's a bonding type of thing.
Yeah. How much real football actually gets done here?
Oh, I'll bet it's very productive. I just remember going to the quarterback challenge, and you go there and all these guys you're there with all your peers.
Yeah.
And you get to see that they're like normal, and it was fascinating to watch how people treated Marino, cuz like he was the godfather, you know. They're all like, oh, Mr. Marino, you know, and I was like, you know, he was my teammate. It was, you know, it's just funny how guys look that way. But what this will do for Zach Wilson, it'll give him some confidence. It'll ease his mind knowing that his competition kind of has similar thoughts and feelings, and it's not such a mystery anymore.
Yeah, look, you're going to be there.
And you really grow a lot when you go and you have these experiences.
Look, there's 50 guys that are going to this thing.
Which is amazing.
How many players are in the NFL? Like,
about 52.
But I'm just saying that
50 guys going to an event is a lot.
And most of them are tight ends, and then the other part, maybe a couple of wide receivers here and there, and then a handful of quarterbacks. That's an amazing place to be able to be like, will you show me how this works for you? Man, I mean, it's good for him. Trevor Lawrence says, now that they have a new staff down in Jacksonville,
yes,
now things are really good. Communication's different. The culture's already different. I don't think you're making that stuff up just to feel better about it, right? I mean, that means they notice an actual difference right off the bat, I think, already with this new coaching staff.
It's really the difference between an offensive-minded coach and a defensive-minded coach, and it's different between a guy who really has cut his teeth through the Mike Holmgren, the Andy Reid, you know, tree and era, and really understands culture and understands how to how to create an environment that's really going to support Trevor Lawrence. I mean, you know, a lot of people, you know, maybe they're not really high on Doug Peterson, but man, the guy won a Super Bowl and he got a lot out of Carson Wentz, and he won in Philadelphia, which is not an easy place to win. And so
he certainly had a lot more coaching experience than Urban Meyer does.
Right. And what Doug's really smart about is see, Urban's the smartest guy in the room. Like he doesn't want to surround himself with people that might be better than him. And Doug Peterson goes, where can I find the best people out there?
How is it that guys like Doug Peterson, I mean, he was your teammate for a while when you were in Miami. It's like these third, fourth string kind of quarterbacks, like they really do well at the next level coaching-wise. I mean, Frank Reich was a kind of a career backup, but like he is one of the great quarterback minds, you know, and I don't know, those guys carve out really nice for themselves.
Well, I think part of it is just in general, quarterbacks really understand all the positions. They really do. You understand defensive line play, and you understand linebacker. You understand how defenses work and fit, how coverages are designed, and how technique is used, and then you understand all the offensive positions. There's no position in football that understands it like a quarterback does. But then when you're a backup, you don't ever get reps. So the only reps you ever get are in your mind.
Right.
And if you're going to be good and going to be prepared,
we're in the classroom,
you really have to study the game. And so you actually, most of the time, are watching football from the sidelines like a coach.
We'll take the break here. We'll come back. We've got our two-minute drill around the corner. You don't want to miss it. Stay right here on 97.5 1280 The Zone. It's Unrivaled in the Zone Sports Network.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent. It was senseless. And I will never understand it. I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.